I can't preach like Ross Lester. I can't breathe like Brandt Pretorius. What a gentleman. He should be allowed to breathe because we'd be full of a country full of gentlemen. And in Doha, we still believe in short back and sides. And we wear beanies when it's very cold. They're not inside a tent. But we love the Aussies. And what a delight to have an Aussie come and love us. Amazing. You know, South Africa has been known for people always going to love others. We're the scattered ones. We're the ones who go and be the pioneers. And then there's others who come and pioneer to come show us a different way and more. Such a privilege. What a privilege to be speaking this session. Just incredible. Loved what was happening this morning. And can I just say, Rory and Mal, that we absolutely love you guys. And we count it as a massive privilege to be able to be here. We love your hearts. We love your insensitivity to the beloved Holy Spirit. That's why you always have such amazing stories, because you respond when the Spirit moves. And so it's supernatural stories. Everyone. And you go, wow, how does that happen to Rory all the time? It's because he's so sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. We love your friendship. You know, Rory has literally traveled the equivalent of 6 times around the earth to come and be with us at our church. And he's got 5 more trips to go, and then he would have traveled the distance to the moon to be with us in Doha Fellowship. And I love that, because he came when nobody knew us. He came when nobody wanted to go there. Where's that? Everyone wanted to go to Dubai, but I know Dan and Stalin in Dubai, and we love it. But Dubai is fantastic plastic. But Doha is the real thing. It is the center of the earth. And you've ordained elders, you've taught, you've counseled, you've commissioned, you've loved. I think there's enough evidence to say that really, Rory, it's all your fault. But I just want to honor you guys today and say thank you so much. I mean, I put people on pedestals, but you know, the Bible talks in Ephesians 4 that some are given by Jesus to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. And they're given to some, and to some they are, and to some they're not. But to us, you're an apostle. And we want to say we recognize it, and we honor it, and we love you guys for it. And thank you for having us here. You know, Hilette and I count it as a privilege to be able to be here today. Honestly, the Doha Fellowship, we count it a privilege to steward what God has done in the middle of nowhere. It literally was the middle of nowhere. Honestly, very few people knew of Doha. And suddenly in the last month or two, everybody knows about Doha because all the trouble we're in. So sometimes it's good to get in a bit of trouble, because then everybody starts to praying for you. We have more people praying for Doha now than we ever had. And everything is changing. It's an unbelievable season that we're in. So people say, is it tough? I say it is tough, but it's so much fun. I just want to honor a wonderful man called Dave Wallen, who, together with his wife Kathy, planted that work. It's not the work that we planted. We were just fortunate enough to be able to one day, unknowingly, say yes to God, and we didn't even know what we said yes to. And it's an adventure that he's calling you. Can I say to you, say yes to God. The adventures that he gives you is far more than you could ever imagine. When God called us to go and take over the leading of the church, he gave me 3 visions. I stood in a worship time like this, and I was worshiping just like all of us were. And he gave me 3 visions, and one was a mantle. And he said, Rob, I'm giving you a new mantle. Because I'd fought taking over from Dave and Kathy. It was, how could I want to take over from someone who I loved? And he said, today I'm giving you a new mantle. And the next thing, he gave me a super tube. And when I was a lighty, and I'm still a lighty, I loved super tubes. And for those who are not South Africans, those are little things where you jump in. And if you're Afrikaans, it's a waterwurm. And when you go in the waterwurm, you pick up some serious momentum. And when you pick up momentum, it is unbelievably thrilling. And I said, God, I love super tubes. And I said, what does it mean? He said, it'll be greater than you'll ever imagine. And I stand every day and I say, thank you, God. Because what you're calling us to and into is greater than we could ever imagine. 20 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus in the city. I didn't have any plans. I just knew I was in trouble. And when you're in trouble, it's a good time to give your life to Jesus. And I had hit the wall. Sometimes we have to hit the wall before we change. Hitting the wall is a good thing. Doha is hitting the wall right now. That's why everything's changing. That's why this is the time for Doha. This is why this is the time for South Africa. Do you think God is surprised by the vote this week? Sometimes you've got to hit the wall. And we hit the wall. You know, when the embargo came on Doha a month and a half ago, suddenly the next day we had our biggest prayer meeting we've ever had. Suddenly all the Christians, a bit of pressure is good for the church. When we get too comfy, it's not so good. A bit of pressure. A bit of oomph. And God starts to change things and he makes the whole thing different. Dave and Kathy just come back from Bosnia and from Hungary where they went to go and minister in a whole lot of churches. And Kevin and Nicole were there just the other day. And I count it such a privilege to walk into the shoes that they filled. And I remember one day sitting with a colleague of mine, a Chubb. I used to work for Chubb. And I'd been in Doha for 5 years. And every Sunday we'd pray. And it was going so well. And I said to him, isn't it amazing all the favor we're walking into? Look how God's blessing us. So we've got favor with the customers. Business is exploding. We've got favor with our sponsors. Isn't it amazing? See, our prayers are working. He said, Rob, you know, we've been praying for 5 years every Sunday. I said, yes, isn't it amazing? He said, I've been praying for 20 years every day for this to happen. And I was so rebuked to my spirit, thinking it was all about me. And I suddenly realized it had nothing to do with me. The king has been at work way before we even thought of Doha. Just like 3CI, before you even knew of 3CI, God raised up a man to say yes to the call. So that one day, 30, 40, 50 children could say yes to the king. See, the king is at work. He's busier and more committed to his church than you and I. And we need to just get it, all the complicated nonsense and all the theologies and all the things that we get caught and hooked up in. Just actually put it aside and say yes to the king. He'll lead you. He doesn't explain it all to you. Because as you say yes, then he makes it clear. But he wants you to say yes. He doesn't say understand first and then say yes. No, this is not a sales deal. This is a faith deal. You say yes to God and then he starts to make it clear. The story is so much bigger than all of us, my friends. Can you turn your Bibles to Psalm 84? We cannot be at a conference called The Call and not ask questions of people to respond to the call. We cannot be at a conference like this and ask people, which is today, open up your ears to the call of the King. Father, I pray as we read your word now that you'll come and change our hearts, change our minds, and change our lives. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. Can we say lovely? Lovely. Yeah, it's lovely to dwell with the King and in his courts. It's not a chore to come here. It's lovely to come here. I it's lovely to go to my church. I can't wait for Thursday and Friday, and we have a few services. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to be there on a Tuesday night because I'm going to pray again. I remember years ago, we were just going to home group. Home group had started in our compound. We were so happy because we could only walk one block. And then I got to home group, and they said, why don't you come to prayer meeting? I said, I'm going to prayer meeting, I'm going to home group, and I'm going to church. My goodness, where am I going to live? I thought God said to me, don't you want to live in a lovely place? I want to live in a lovely place. This is a lovely place. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. Can we say dwell in your house? They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look on your shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I've been in the tents of the wicked. I dwelt there for many years. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, a doormat, a toilet sweeper. And I love it when the politicians and the CEOs are on the parking team. Huh? We've got a doctor. He's a neurosurgeon. Unbelievable man. I walked in the other day. He leads ministries everywhere. The other day I see him mopping the floor in the toilet. I said, what are you doing? He said, there was a mess. I fixed it. This is the neurosurgeon. I'm not neurosurgeon, maxillofacial surgeon. Love it. Doorkeeper. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. Can we say favor and honor? No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Got three things that I want to just look at here. First one is this word dwell. There's a permanence to dwell. It's a lingering to dwell. There's not a rushing. There's a remaining to dwell. I don't just dwell with Stephen and then I chuck off again. I don't just dwell with my wife. I love to dwell with her and stay and remain. She refreshes me. I felt love when I'm with her. I get stirred. You don't go and dwell with God in and out quickly. I have my 2 minutes, I'm out. I dwell with him through the day. I don't just have quiet time. I just dwell with God. And sometimes I dwell away from God. How's your dwelling going? I'm still dwelling with the King. I'm still dwelling with the one who whispers from on high. Like those whispers that we heard here this morning. And then we see the erupting of a supernatural thing that's happening in the lives of people. How's your dwelling going? Who are you dwelling with? Is there others dwelling with you in God? Are there some squatters with your dwelling? Who are you dwelling with? You see, Adam and Eve knew how to dwell with God. In the cool of the evening, he'd come down. And they'd sort of wait for the Father, yearn. Can you imagine in the garden, it's paradise anyhow, delightful. They couldn't wait for the Father to come down in the cool of the evening. I think that's where sundowners came from. It's just the cool of the evening. He came down just as the sun sets. Come the Father with his children. Dwelling, intimacy, like this. How did Eve and Adam, how did they start to live? How did the breath get breathed into him? It was like this. Right there. It wasn't from there. There was closeness. How's your dwelling? Where's your dwelling? Oh, Lord, we long to dwell with you. Did you see this young lady here last night who led us in worship? My soul cries out. It yearns. It even faints for God. Boom. I just loved watching her. There was nothing. There was no one here. She was worshiping to one. She was crying out with everything of her being. Oh, God, my soul cries out. Sadly, much of the church have forgotten what it's like to dwell with God. Even though he's dwelling with us, he's dwelling within us. Don't linger, my friends. Don't rush it. If you haven't been dwelling with the King, just like that, come back to him. Come back to him today. Enter into that place of refreshing with the Father. Isn't that the destination? Isn't that where we're supposed to be going? Isn't that the purpose of all of this? You see, he's much less moved by lips than he's moved by heart. She could have shouted nothing, but he was moved by her heart last night. As we moved in our hearts. Hey, have you ever done help like this? Help. That's help of God. And he hears the cry of your heart, not the cry of your voice. I was an 11-year-old boy on my father's farm, and I got into trouble in the river, in the Moy River, and I got into a whirlpool, and I went to go and call my dad to come to lunch. It was December, and on the farms in those days, we drove down to the pickups. I went to call him, and he said, I'm not ready. I'll be ready in half an hour. I said, I'm going for a swim with my cousin. We're in the river swimming, And it was flood. It was December, caught in the whirlpool. And the next minute I realized I was about to die. And I was struggling and I was struggling and I could not come out. And every time I'd come up, it had sucked me back under. It sucked me back under. And at one point when I realized I am about to die, I cried out. I said, Lord, in Afrikaans, as you may read, so like you deem for the rest of my life. I will serve you for the rest of my life. And I lost consciousness. My father, an unsaved man, on his tractor, reaping the potatoes up and down 300 meters away, hears a voice, Bobby, go down the river. Your son is in trouble. He's an unsaved man. The Spirit of God speaks to him. He rushes down. He sees me in trouble. And he rescues me with the help of two Zulu men. That's why I love the Zulus. They rescued me, and I was gone, already unconscious, and they resuscitated me, and I came back to life, because he heard the cry of a young boy's heart. It wasn't help, it was help of God. My friends, where's your dwelling? Where's that? God hears the cry of our hearts. He says, would you delight in me, and I'll give you the desires, I'll give you the cries of your hearts. Come to that place of dwelling. Jesus is moved. Doesn't he say, believe in your heart and confess with your lips that he is Lord? Isn't that what he says? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he is Lord. And the Israelites have been just confessing with their mouths and actually didn't mean anything in their hearts. And he says, no, the psalmist says, no, my flesh and my heart and my soul cries out to God. Let's not lose what the psalmist writes about, my friends. Let's not make the courts of the king too posh and too slick. Let's not make it too professional. He's just looking for our hearts. Yeah, and we planted a church in Nepal, and there's a wonderful lady. She's 76 years old. She was a Hindu. She got saved 5 years ago. And she walks. Now, if you go to Nepal, if you know Nepal, Doug and a few guys have been there, a Nepali flat or a Nepali valley, a flat, is this. This is a Nepali flat. So you walk pretty seriously if you're going to walk. And she walks 2.5 hours one way to go to church. 76 years old, three times a week. Prayer meeting, home group, church on a Sunday. Saturday, actually. We have church on Saturdays. And then she walks back quicker home, 1.5 hours home, because it goes a bit more down than up. She walks 4 hours to church 3 times a week. And we couldn't be bothered because the cappuccino's cold today. Where's our dwelling, my friends? Where are we dwelling? What's happened to the Western church? What's happened? Oh, no. I tell you, we don't have seats like this. I don't think we'll ever have seats like this. You're gonna want to sit there and feel it. It's hard. It must cost you something to worship the King. It's for free, but it'll cost you your life. I have a credible deacon. His name is Prakash. And our team. Prakash works in a labor camp. And labor camp about 20 kilometers outside the city. And he was growing in God. God stirred him. And he said, I have to plant a home group. He said, no problem, Prakash. And Jamon went, he says, can't ask your camp boss if you can do the home group. And he went to the camp boss, and he's a staunch Hindu. He said, no, we will not worship that Jesus here. And so Prakash would get escaping out. He'd escape out of the labor camp with some friends, and they'd go out of the camp, and 500, 300 meters away, there was a tree in the desert, and he'd go with his little Nokia cell phone and the little light, and they'd take their Bible, and they would worship under the tree and read the scriptures because they loved the courts of this King. Come on, my friends. Where are you dwelling? This King is desiring our hearts. He's desiring our all. He's not desiring us for our comfort. He's not trying to make it too nice. Let us not let those things become the main thing. The main thing is the King dwelling with the Father. Isn't that the destination of Christianity? Rory taught us so well. It's the destination of heaven. No, it's the destination of the Father. Can you say the word pilgrimage? Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. You know, if you're a Christian, you're a pilgrim. Can you turn to someone next to you and say pilgrim? The problem is most of us pilgrim to our leather lounge chair with a DSTV remote and the newspaper on the side. That's our pilgrimage. The pilgrimage is a little bit more than that. And he says there's the heart. In fact, the Amplified says the heart of his heart is for the highways of Zion. That's his heart is for a pilgrimage to the highways of Zion. He has got such a heart for this thing. And can I say, is it your pilgrimage or still God's pilgrimage? Whose pilgrimage are we on? Ours or his? And so much of the world, let me tell you, honestly, time is few. Is that the right Afrikaans, Engels, and Manirum to say? Take this man. That's on me hook. If you live where we live, you'll understand why we get urgent about these things. We have five wars around us at the moment. We have three countries that have sanctioned, no, four, that have placed sanctions on all around us. It's tough. And yet we see the Christians going and we do our little church on Sunday and we go home. Guys, we are called to be pilgrims. Why? To change the valleys of Bekaa into springs and oases of life. The team. This place is a place of unbelievable potential. I remember preaching here 3 years ago and I said to Rory, this is like a pool with teeming with fish just waiting to jump and erupt out, like those trout and those salmon that trek all the way back, ramping up all the obstacles that is placed in them. This is a place of potential. This is a place of kingdom waiting to just... It feels like if I throw a spark here, something's going to explode. That's what this is. This is not no longer, ach, nee, I was doing kerk op 'n Sondag and I'm going to eat those chicken lunch. Chicken is horrible, idiot! Come on, and then you give it dry without gravy. Horrible. Answering the call is saying yes to